This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Philip. Now, it is 7:49 in the morning, Tuesday the 13th of July. And according to the National Association of Private Educational Institutions, colleges are looking at cutting fees by as much as 20% to attract students as enrollment dwindles. Private colleges have been cutting costs to survive by downsizing staff, especially part-time academics, as well as reducing salaries.
In fact, the association noted that TVET institutions have suffered a lower student intake as they are not allowed to hold in-person classes when 80% of their programs are laboratory and workshop based, requiring face-to-face teaching.
In contrast to its before the pandemic hit, the Education Ministry in 2019 announced that Malaysia made an average of 7.2 billion ringgit per year from education, which includes tuition fees, living expenses and other services during a student's course of study here. And without a doubt, this is a big business for the country, and we were supposed to hit a target of 250,000 foreign students by 2025, according to the Higher Education Blueprint. But what does COVID-19 do to that target? And how has the MCO affected these institutions?
To help us with this conundrum, we have with us this morning Professor Jeffrey Williams, economist at Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Professor, thanks so much for joining us today. Now, according to the National Association of Private Educational Institutions, private colleges are looking at cutting fees as much as 20% in order to attract students and bolster enrollment. What do you think of this? Is this an effective strategy?
Well, good morning. In terms of whether it's effective or not, I think the answer to that is quite simple. It isn't going to be effective. But I think that there are more elements to it. It's being driven by the market, actually, because already in Malaysia, tuition fees are being pushed down by changes in business model, and particularly the move to blended and online learning business models. So you can actually get undergraduate degrees or bachelor's degrees in Malaysia now for less than 25,000 ringgit for the whole of the three-year period. And you can get master's degrees or MBAs for less than 13,000 ringgit for a period of about a year or 18 months. So that's a consequence of market pressure. And of course, that's been made worse because of the pandemic, because many universities are now moving to online and blended formats, and students are asking the question about what is the value of the program, and particularly the program delivery that they're getting, when they're not getting the same type of experience that they would have got from an on-campus degree program. And because of that, many students are saying, well, if I'm going to be doing blended and online learning, I expect to be paying a lower fee. So these in combination are pushing down the price. And whether this will be effective or not, of course, depends upon what will happen with the market as a whole. I mean, if all prices are forced down, then all you get is that there's no differentiation in prices between institutions. All of the prices on average are lower, and then the demand will be pretty much the same, and the situation would be pretty much the same. So it's not necessarily going to be effective.
Professor, has student enrollment dropped more than what would be reasonably expected during this time?
Well, we are now getting some more data on student enrollment, and what we're seeing is that it's different for different institutions depending on the business model. For the industry as a whole, the estimates are that perhaps overall enrollment might be down by 20 or 30%, and for international students, it's down by even more than that, 50% and more. But this very much depends upon the type of institution you are and the business model you have. I mean, you already mentioned the TVET centers, for example. And for some of the TVET centers, as many as 200 out of 600 registered TVET centers didn't have any enrollment for the whole of the year because, of course, their courses are face-to-face courses which require the students to be on the campus. So for them, that means about a third of the institutions didn't have anything at all. But then by contrast, I know of other institutions which have an online teaching model before the open university type open distance learning program. And they have told me that actually their enrollment hasn't been harmed during this period at all, actually. And in the case of our own university, we have seen our enrollment has increased by a third since December, which is when I joined. I'm not sure it's got anything to do with me, but nonetheless, it has increased by a third, and that's simply a matter of our business model. But I think many that have a traditional business model, particularly those that are concentrated on on-campus degree programs, they are the ones, I think, that have had a significant reduction in enrollment. And also foreign students, those that rely on foreign students, have also seen a reduction in enrollment. And there is also another factor which is often overlooked, which is the attrition rate. And there is some evidence that existing students are leaving in higher numbers now than they had been before. And some universities are reporting attrition rates above 15%. I know of one in particular that has an attrition rate close to 20%. And so that's another factor that we often don't take into account.
So, Professor, with all that in mind then, last year we saw 60 private higher education institutes close down. In 2013, there were 600 of them. 2019, there were 436 of them. So even before the pandemic, they were already closing shop and the bankruptcies were already happening. Are we going to see an acceleration of this, especially because in the digital world, those with scale might be able to penetrate the market at a much wider rate?
Well, I think the issue as to whether they will close down or not, again, it depends very much on the business model and the current and the previous financial position of the institution. Some are because they just didn't have the reserve in order to get through this period. But I'm afraid that some will cling on. And what they will do, unfortunately, is they will reduce their prices. Because they reduce the prices, they will reduce their costs. Because they reduce their costs, the quality will fall. And we're much more likely to see a ratcheting down of quality than we are to see a significant increase in the number of institutions that fail. Now, in the longer term, of course, they will fail because those that don't offer good quality programs eventually will fail. But I think they may cling on a little bit before that happens. Now, some may pivot to, as you mentioned, some may pivot to a different business model, particularly online delivery. And I know that many are doing that, including some household name universities are significantly shifting to online provision. But I think that's a very, very competitive market, particularly because there are lots of international alternatives when you're thinking about online education. And so if your programs are not as good as the Australians or the British or the Americans put online, then that's really the people you are competing against. You're not competing against local universities online. So I think that's a very, very risky strategy.
Now, Professor, there does seem to be a lack of initiatives specifically for private higher education institutions. So what kind of initiatives do you think would help in this time, especially since under the Higher Education Blueprint, there is a target of 250,000 foreign students in the country by 2025?
Well, just first to look at that number, 250,000, this isn't necessarily people who are registered for diplomas, degrees, and higher education. A lot of that actually are students registered for language courses. It was always a very ambitious target. And I think now there is no chance that that's going to happen by that period, not by 2025. It's just not going to happen. Now, in terms of the initiatives, there was a blueprint for the private sector that was issued under the previous minister, Dr. Masley, and that is in the public domain, but nothing happened very much with that. Now, I think if I look at that again, which I have been doing, I think that many of the things inside that blueprint are no longer relevant because the structural changes have been so significant. So what I think is really necessary is for us to have a fresh new look, and I've already called for a task force to be set up to look at the structural issues in the private sector and to see how we can try to address these things. One of them, of course, is going to be the internationalization process, because it's clearly one of the big drivers of private education, and it's clearly one of the aspects that's been harmed most by the extended lockdown.
Professor, thanks so much for joining us this morning. That was Professor Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology, giving us some insight into the struggle that private higher education institutions is facing at the moment. Gentlemen, what did you think of this, Philip?
Oh, I think it's a very difficult position these institutions are in. You know, when you, as Dr. Jeffrey Williams was saying, if you drop the price, you know, I know why they're trying to do that, trying to get market share and swing over students to join their courses. But if they fail to do so, they have to reduce cost. And the challenge with a lot of these institutions is that their cost is fixed. The campus is large. You have to pay the rent. You don't pay teachers and lecturers per the hour or per student. So it is tough. And the only compromise and sacrifice they're going to make is in the quality of the curriculum. And that is the biggest challenge that universities have. So I understand why they want to do it. They want to swing market share and just build the recruitment. But it's hard because foreign students are just not coming in.
You know, I'd be curious to see whether this kind of disruption, whether this will lead to a higher quality of international universities coming here, right? So yes, we're concerned about the local universities, the private education institutions, but what if Stanford can provide a completely online degree for Malaysians here without having to travel there and reduce all of those other costs that isn't related to the experience and being abroad, right? End of the day, a lot of people just want that piece of paper to pursue their careers. There is a disruption here that could be beneficial in the longer run, although there'll be some scarring for sure.
Yeah, so this is something that we will be keeping an eye on to see how the situation develops. BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.